Well, I was talking to Cam this morning, and I said, what'd you think of that April 1st day little ploy? He said, I was shocked. I said, I don't know how that ever got. That was truly funny. People thought we had sold the church. Some still think that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. That was good. I'll tell you what good was. Good was last Sunday. Oh, Good Friday, too, actually, for that matter. Was that not a great weekend on the Friday night? Yeah, it was just a wonderful, wonderful weekend. On the Friday night, such a compassion towards just the Lord and what he had done for us on the cross. And then Easter Sunday, how do you describe it, right? 14 people get baptized. So great. And eating lots of food out in the patio and being in the under the, you know, just everything. So I said to Belle, I said, you know, this is going to last to me for almost till the end of this next week. I said, it's just so, I was so thrilled. And I know you were too. You can't make those kind of things happen. It's just a God thing. And all we can do is say, Lord, every time we gather, let the power of the Lord be present to touch hearts, touch lives. It seemed to me that's what Christianity was supposed to be about. And when Greg went in the water and Gary went in the water, I was just crying. It was just really a touching thing. So thank you. Thank you all the people who did all the work Friday night and Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon there. That was a lot of work. I think we should just give that a special. And trying to get balloons off the ceiling and try to, you know, clean up the yard out there. It was just lots of work. And I know many of you didn't even get thanked for it, but the Lord will thank you, and we acknowledge you for what you've done. So this morning, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to be quick and think fast, and you can come along at the same speed there if you'd like to. I was thinking of what next. What follows this? What follows Good Friday? What follows Resurrection Sunday? And I thought, the Spirit. That's what comes next. It's life in the Spirit. And I came across Ezekiel. Let me just read it. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he said to me, verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Isn't that a great line? Can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. And then chapter 36. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The Spirit did that. That's what came to me. And I thought, what has to happen to everybody who was baptized? Oh, I think it was 14 people got baptized. What has to happen? The Spirit must come upon them. The Holy Spirit must fill them and anoint them, because this life is it demands it. That's how it works. And out of that comes this exceedingly great army of people who the Lord has touched and raised up, who recognize Jesus died for them and rose again, and now they're being filled with the Spirit. I made a note of this, that in the Old Testament, God promised that he would give his people a new covenant, a new heart, a new David, a new temple, a new Jerusalem, and a new law. And he would empower them with his Spirit and make them a light to the nations. And this, my note is, this is revival. When that happens, you know, revival has come to our hearts. At its very heart, Christianity, and I think this is true, is a revivalist movement. It's a revivalist movement. And even the word, literally the word revival means to wake the dead. So when revival comes to a church, it's a calling for the Spirit to come upon them and them to be raised to life and have this revival movement going on for the rest of our lives. Well, John baptized with water, he promised that the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit is coming. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew both the Spirit's presence and he knew about the Spirit's power. And in his baptism, he received power and I made a note here, a regal anointing. He was anointed to do a specific thing and promises that his followers would receive the same. That what happened to Jesus would happen to them in Jerusalem. And they were commanded to not to go anywhere, but to stay in Jerusalem and here's a fantastic verse, until they be clothed with power from on high. That's the promise of the Lord. A resurrection, people who believe that Jesus died and rose again, and then to be filled with the Spirit, to wait for the Spirit, wait for the power. And I know that in my own experience, as a Christian, that the most important thing next to believing that Jesus died for you and being born again is that you would be empowered. That the Lord would so touch us and so fill us that we would live in this revival state basically until Jesus comes. We're waiting, getting all our strength from him. I don't think it has to wear off or fade away. The power of the Spirit is something that it marks who we are and what we are, how we act. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, you will be, and I think there's one translation, that you will be flooded with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know, imagine every one of those who came into the water and beyond, not just those, but beyond, and the Spirit would come upon them. Each one is, I thought that there might be a place even for healing, that somebody would be healed right coming out of the water. How wonderful that would be. And we would rejoice and bless the Lord, but not be surprised. We wouldn't need to be surprised. But just to know that that's normal New Testament stuff, that people would be baptized, would be saved, would be baptized, and would be filled with the Spirit. The promise is that his followers would receive the same. Whatever happened to the disciples should and could and would happen to me. And that, and ongoing, because I can tell you where I was baptized in the Spirit. I can tell you what happened and how it happened. But it's an ongoing thing. Be filled with the Spirit and be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled. I must be filled again. I tend to leak as you do. And so we must be filled over and over and over again so that we remain effervescent. I can't go on yesterday's blessing, even the great weekend, as much as I personally enjoyed that weekend. That'd be an understatement. That's then. The Spirit has got new things for us. And we must be open to it and not be afraid of the Spirit working in our hearts, but to ask, Lord, fill me afresh for the next moment, the next thing that God's going to be doing here in our midst. I want to be a part of that. The Spirit's empowering completed, I don't know if you know this name or not, but what James Dunn said, the salvation package. Jesus promised the salvation packet. Peter promised this at the end of his Pentecost sermon. This is what he said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So one would be repentance and forgiveness. The second one would be baptized in water in Jesus' name, and the third would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the package. Anything less, as a matter of fact, you see in Scripture in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, each case, wherever there was one of those things hadn't happened, either the forgiveness and the repentance hadn't happened, or the water baptism hadn't happened, or the Holy Spirit baptism hadn't happened. They sent somebody down there to correct that because it was normative. It was just normal. Saved, filled, baptized to get it all. Sometimes there's a variation with that, but basically that is the salvation package. It's not just sins forgiven, but to be baptized in water and then to be empowered by the Spirit. Apart from this power, our faith becomes simply moralistic, a list of rules where we go through routines. There must be a dynamic that we can't explain. And I was thinking of these dear, dear people who really risked making a fool of themselves, coming into the water, coming out, looking like drowned rats. There's no joy or pleasure in that, right? Why would anybody do that, be out of obedience to Christ? So can you imagine, though, as they have come, if there isn't some power, then how are they going to be full of power? And I think, remember to pray. Remember to pray for those that you know who got baptized, right? That they would go to that next phase, that to be anointed, like Jesus was anointed, like the 12 were anointed. And the promise is that the Spirit will come upon us all. In other words, a Spirit-filled church, that they would say, oh, when I was baptized in water, then I got baptized in the Spirit. And I repented, of course, of my sins. But that would be the starting point. Otherwise, it would be. I know it would just be routine as routine can be. Always the same thing happening, but nothing fresh, nothing new. Old things. We don't want old experiences. We don't want old things. We want today's manna. We want the things that come so that they would think it normative, that lots would happen as they yield themselves to the Lord. The normal Christian life is lived in the power of the Spirit. In other words, we would be praying all of the time, Holy Spirit, we're helpless and hopeless. You must come upon us. You must come upon our church. You must come upon the outreach. You must, everything. And we're looking to the Spirit, not to ourselves, not to some program that we put together. And as clever as they might be, the program may be worthwhile and good to do, but it can't be based on that. It must be based on the Spirit of Jesus filling us and touching us, and then out of that, of course, things can happen. But it's super important, just absolutely important, that it would be in that every prayer meeting, when we meet as elders, we meet with the board, that we pray and we say, Holy Spirit, come and help us, touch us today, stir us today. Don't let us fall asleep here. Don't let us get caught up in just church stuff and miss the breath of God touching our assembly. I see, I wonder, could it not be that we could live in a heightened sense of the Spirit for years and years and years? Does the anointing have to fade away? Does it have to say, well, that was then, we had a great time, it was good old days, but is there no more good old days? Shouldn't what we saw Sunday be normative? Shouldn't it be, Carl, we wanted it to be, and John, didn't we want it to be normative? These are the good old days. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say. These are the good old days. When you have to look back and say, oh, yeah, I remember so-and-so got that. Hey, we're thinking backwards. We're thinking the wrong way. What is the Spirit up to? What does He want to do? So that we can maintain, without manipulating, we can maintain things like this are pretty well, somebody might get saved, somebody gets healed, somebody gets filled with the Spirit, gifts are operating, and we're not surprised about it, but we anticipate it because we've been relying on the Spirit of God and praying with all of our heart and watching what God might do. And I think He wants to do fresh things and new things. Now, doesn't take away from what He's doing here now, but there's more beyond this, or it will be just moralistic. And your kids will grow up and say, yeah, they went to church. But as soon as they get a chance to get out of here, they'd be gone. And there's only one thing that would make the difference. When there is an aliveness in the Lord in every gathering, and then we would be praying that way, praying regularly. Come, Holy Spirit, touch, bless, stir us today, whatever it is. Just we want to be part of it. I'm just cutting short much I wanted to say here, but I think I'm going to get some of it right here. So, on the day of Pentecost, picture this. 3,000 people were converted. That would have been a service. Where did they do it? How were they? You in the end, you know. 3,000 people. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish Pentecost, follow with me now, the Jewish Pentecost was followed by the Samaritan Pentecost. The Samaritan Pentecost in chapter 8 of Acts was followed by the Gentile Pentecost. That was the sequence. And when you start seeing that it was repeated, it wasn't a one-time thing on the day of Pentecost. It was repeated in Acts 8 in Samaria, Acts 8, Acts 10, 9 actually if you count Saul's and Paul's, in chapter 10, Cornelius, in Cornelius' house. Remember the sheet comes down? And then in Acts chapter 19, here they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. They had not even heard anything about it. They said, well, what baptism were you baptized with? I was baptized with John. John? Oh, that's yesterday's. John's not doing that. John's come and said the word. But he said, then preach to him Jesus. And then he was saved, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. There were six of them. They were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was 23 years after Pentecost. So the thing of it is, you and I can have our own Pentecost. We don't have to wait for someone to come to town. We don't have to wait to bring somebody in to that we think could maybe stir things up for us. I mean, not that it'd be such a bad idea in itself, but we don't have to wait for that. These things happened over and over and over and over again. And I just want to be a part of that, what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is doing. So a witness to the presence and the power, you can't fool around with this stuff. You can't make it happen if it's not happening. You can't try to be more Pentecostal by clapping your hands, right? Or singing a chorus louder. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's just our response to Him. The Spirit of the Lord descends. And the promise was to all of us, everyone who called on the name of the Lord, the promise was that they could receive the Holy Spirit. It was for men and women. It was for everybody. And so we need to be somewhat unhappy if that hasn't happened yet, because the Lord wants that to happen. I'm convinced of it. So this would be, as I mentioned, the Jewish Pentecost, the Samaritan Pentecost, the Gentile Pentecost, and then there would be the Valley Church Pentecost, where we said where that's what we lived in. So that would just be a thing. Somebody would get saved, they would get baptized in water, and then they would be anointed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that threefold thing is how I think it should be normative. That's all I'm saying, just a normative thing. And we're not surprised about it. But it does suggest we act in faith, right? That if somebody comes forward and says, I'd like you to pray for me for the baptism of the Spirit, oh, yes, we'd be glad to pray with you. And we would just do that. Or someone needs to be healed, and we'd be open to those type of things all of the time. And not because we're Pentecostal, but it's because we want to be biblical. These are normal things that happen to people. Let me give a concluding word here, and then we'll open it up. The Spirit is at work today, and I even sensed it to some measure last week without living back there. Why did that seem like such a wonderful time? I thought of it. I said, I'm obviously pumped. And I said, I know why. Because I sensed the Holy Spirit at work. That nobody could take any credit for anything. It's just one of those moments. I saw the humility of people helping somebody else out, even get into the water. And it brought tears to my eyes. Just the care and the love. I was glad for our brother Greg, who said, I'm kind of new at this. As a matter of fact, we were trying to help Doug get the cross out of the door up there. And I said to Greg, I said, are you got anything, broken bones or anything? And he says, no. I said, okay, give me a hand. I'm going to put this cross back in. He said, okay, so we're done hauling this thing down. And about an hour later, he says, I said, "You got any crosses you need moved?" I said, "No, but I'm glad you're part. You felt part of it." It's just that people are connecting to us, and lives are being changed. You know that Nancy shared Jesus with Greg, and I think if I heard the story right, she led him to the Lord out here at the bus depot. That's the lady we helped with the teeth problem. And here she is out witnessing and sharing and tells Greg about Jesus, and Greg's been coming and gives his heart to the life and gets baptized. Yeah, that's great, isn't it? That's what I want to see. I don't think that's a fairy tale. I think it's normative. And somehow, some way, we would call on the Lord and say, "Holy Spirit, come. Really shake up our church. In the best kind of shaking. Not fanaticism, not craziness. There's nothing, no benefit to craziness. There's enough of it comes anyway, but just, you can't. But that we'd say, can these dead bones live? Could that be normative for all of us? And the answer, yes, 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 it could. I'm saying, not because we've necessarily experienced everything, but because we see everything in Scripture. It's just how it is. The Spirit has not ceased to work among us, but we're reminded once in a while. See, you can't be saying, "Oh yeah, those dear young people, God bless them. Oh, I remember when I used to be on fire," but you used to be when you were on fire. What are you now? Not on fire. But thought that it's really good for young people to be in a meeting like that. I said, no, we want to be in the meeting all the time, blessing, reaching out, touching. And so we say the Spirit at work today. And of course, the big question is, isn't it? We can say this to each other. Boy, this is power. You meet somebody, say, "What's the Holy Spirit doing in your church these days?" What a great question. What's the Holy Spirit doing in your church? I got a better one. What's the Holy Spirit doing in your life? How has the Lord been touching you, stirring your heart, giving you a greater hunger, certain maybe kind of a holy dissatisfaction that you said, "Oh, I've got to come alive." We were even singing about coming alive. I'm going to be about as spiritual as the church is, I suppose. Not a good answer. I think I must keep the fire burning in my heart, or this church will not be advancing. It only will go as to what I see, and you know, if I see God at work and I enter into that, so that I receive all that the Lord has, then there's a good chance that things filter down, right? As they heard me say, the fish always stinks from the head down. Starts at the top, it rots from the top down. And so that will happen unless we really say, "Lord, don't let that happen. Keep me alive and vibrant." And what other words can we use? So that we're seeing God at work. God is at work. And that was just a little foretaste. Because it was Easter, because there were some factors there that we wouldn't have every week. But the question is, can these dead bones live? And the answer is yes, but only by the power of the Spirit. He said, "I breathed my Spirit upon them, and there was a rattling. And then these bones all rose together. And he said, like a great army, they began to come together." And I don't know what the great army would be for us, but I know that 1 year from now, oh, by the way, just to give God praise and glory, remember we said at the prayer meetings that we would like to see our faith level for the new year, that would be, people by Christmas. We're well on the way to God answering our prayer. We're well on the way. Now, why are we praying that? Because it would be normal. It's just normal. We shouldn't have to wait 12 months before there's more baptisms. That's not normal. if the church is alive, we'll be often doing those things. So it's 10 the next time, you know, it's 14 the next time. It doesn't matter the number so much. But just, it's just an indication that the Lord says, yes, I'd like to. See, we want to tie in with what he's doing. We join God in what he's doing. And that's the big question then, isn't it? What is God doing in our church that we can't take credit for? And we see it. We see things moving, things happening, and it's fantastic. And so that's all we can do is say, Lord, we're open, and we're making sure that our hearts are clean, making sure there's no unforgiveness, making sure there's not resentment and schism and just dividing of people. You can't have that. God will not move in that environment. He wants our hearts to be open and we're forgiving and we're loving each other and caring for each other. And then asking God to give us all that he wants for this year, this coming year. What is it? April now, April. And that's no joke. No April 1st day. This is the real thing. April, May, June, July, August, September, right through till December, as to what he might be up to. And us flowing in it, in the worship, in the praise, and gifts, and just make that normal. And the Spirit at work. So let me ask you, before we pray, we got a little bit of time here, tell me, how do you see the next while going? I know this isn't a leadership meeting, but just as part of Valley Church, and you haven't sold the church or anything, what would your faith level be? What would you trust the Lord for? What do you think's happening? And what do you think maybe should be happening that's perhaps not? It's not something I said, is it? That's it, I'm out of here. Who would like to just take a thought of that? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Lord has some plans for us? Yeah. Why do you think that?
Well, brother, I've been here for 42 years. And we started out small. And look at us now. And we're still growing. Yeah. We're growing every Sunday. There's new visitors here. I don't think there's been a Sunday in 42 years that we haven't had visitors in this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. God is doing,
yes. And Matthew and Winnie Lowe laboring diligently for the Lord over in Burnaby as a direct part of the church here. Yeah, Rex has seen it. I'm losing my head here today. It must be too early in the morning. Richard, I think you have seen it all. You know, he's been here since the beginning. Anybody else? Just what you see in the spirit realm. What's God up to, do you think? Don't bawl us out. Just encourage us with what we need to be doing. Anybody?
Yeah. I just think it's so hard. We're so attached to the world and the busyness and our problems out there that coming here to surrender. When I come here, I feel peace. It helps me. It's like the start of the week for me. It's just like I give this day to God as the first thing to help me for the rest of the week. And if I don't come here and just get this time where I really praise and really hear the word and be with people that also believe in God, then my week doesn't go.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else? John.
I think that there's so much turmoil in the world these days, in all different parts of the world, not just the U.S. A lot of different places, Europe and Asia and Africa and all. And just to really plug in and be grounded, like Jenna said, it starts the week off right. And just to look at the big picture rather than getting embroiled in all the focusing on these
Yeah, doing what we're doing. Yeah, convinced that this is where we must pray. We have prayer meetings to pray for direction, to make sure we're on the right track, going the right way we should be going. And that always concerns me, that are we doing what the Spirit wants us to do? Otherwise, we'll just be getting old and smaller. And I don't want to be there, nor do you. I think I told you about the church that couldn't find the baptism. It was a portable one, but they couldn't find it because they hadn't baptized anybody in 15 years. That's maybe a pastor's angst or something, but 15 years? Did nobody notice anything that wasn't missing? Hi, how about the converts? We want to be a place where people can find life, right? And that's what it must be. There must be, you can't have it otherwise. A couple more. Yeah, Barb. Yes, yes.
And I know I feel excited because the ladies' Bible study is actually embarking on a journey to get to know the Holy Spirit in a greater way. And it feels to me that there's just something, that God isn't a random God, you know, that He does have a purpose.
Why don't you pray that over us, Barb? Let's just stand together. That's to position us. That's what I heard here today. God will put us in the right place that we won't miss the visitation that we anticipate. The more people coming to know the Lord, lives being changed, people getting baptized and filled with the Spirit, all that as normal behavior. So raise your voice loud and clear if you can. But let's just agree with Barb. I think she's hit the essence of it here. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Yes.
And that we would see a huge harvest come in. Father, we ask that you would be alive in a tangible, manifest way.
Yes, yes, yes.
Father, you would be here, that people would come in and say, God is in the house.
Yeah. Yes.
That you would just touch us, and that as Pentecost comes, Lord, that your fire would fall.
Yes, Jesus.
Bring us into that place of intimacy. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's the definitive word. Thank you. So we'll be dismissed, but just to the next phase, please hang out for a while if you can to have some coffee with the rest of the body of Christ here. And we're glad that you're here this morning. You're welcome to stay for the second part of the concert if you want here this morning.